Radio.
Log Talk Radio.
Carson. Kit Carson.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Terry Dodd, and I am here at the Tuscany Hotel in Las Vegas at the Constitutional Sheriff's Project. And we are excited about this conference that's going to actually be taking place tomorrow, but people are beginning to arrive tonight. I'm here with my co-host, Kate, Dr.
Good evening.
Kate, as well as Red Beckman. Is Red on with us yet, Kate?
Not quite yet.
Well, I'm going to open us up with a prayer, and hopefully by the time we are done with that, Red will be on with us. Almighty Father God, we're just so thankful for this day, and we're thankful for the way that you're blessing us, and especially the way that you are blessing these sheriffs and helping them to understand what their constitutional duties are and how to better stand up for their oath of office and their people within their counties. And we're just praying that your spirit watch over this entire conference that's occurring, and that there's a spirit of brotherhood, and that there's a great amount of learning to be had here. And we're just thankful for your son, and we're thankful that we can turn to you. It's in the name of Yeshua that we pray. Amen. Well, Kate, our first guest tonight is right here with me, and his name is Kit Carson, and he's from Wyoming. And Kit, just so you know, Kate has spent quite a bit of time in Wyoming, so you guys might have something to visit and talk about. Kit, how about saying hello to everyone and telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, good evening, folks. I'm really happy to be here. Todd and I have many similar friends, and one of them being Red Beckman. But the state of Wyoming is one of three states in the Union that are not upside down. We're in real good shape financially because of energy exports, and the same is true for North Dakota and Alaska. All other states are upside down financially. But the folks that are listening to this program should begin to focus on their local sheriffs and go to the county courthouse and get a copy of the oath of office that sheriff signed. They're free. They might charge you 25 cents or something, and you'll be amazed at how simple it is. And he has sworn an oath, just like the military people, to protect the citizens of his county. And the sheriff, which you've never been taught about probably, neither was I, is the absolute king and dictator of his county. He can arrest anybody for any crime that is alleged or complained to by the citizenry. He can arrest a judge. He can arrest a lawyer. He can arrest a legislator for violation of the oath that you can get a copy of. And the violation of that oath is in the form of other topics which you won't get into tonight, such as proposing a bill of attainder in legislature or violating the oath in many other ways. It's a felony. It's called perjury. And a citizen's complaint to the sheriff should arrest that person, not go to the DA or the county attorney and say, please give me a warrant to arrest this man. That's the kind of power that the sheriffs have. Absolute. Protector of the people. They were elected. The sheriff has no boss, no governor, no district attorney. Nobody can tell him what to do. So I'll conclude this with one final statement here. In my research over 40 years, about 20 years ago, I came up with a really beautiful, unique letter from Thomas Jefferson. It's never been published that I know of. It's never been taught in any schools. And if you want a copy of Jefferson's letters, 1806 letter to his daughter, her name is Martha, and Jefferson had four daughters and one son. Son was stillborn, and the other four daughters died. But Jefferson outlived them, and Martha outlived them. She was firstborn. He wrote her a letter that is so magnificent, it's three pages long. And if you want to copy that, folks, I'll be happy to mail it to you free. Just call our office up in Wyoming, leave a voicemail message as to the address, and we'll mail it to you next Friday, because I'm out of town right now. And our office is the Wyoming Tea Party Incorporated, 307-632-5827. Again, that phone number is 307-632-5827. Just leave a message. You'd like to have a free copy of the Jefferson letter, and we'd be happy to mail it to you. And when you read that, your whole thinking is going to be adjusted a little bit better to the constitutional thinking. And that's about all I have to say, except I'm a paralegal. I've been studying this stuff for 60 years. And Mr. Todd, Mr. Beckman, now the people that are going to be on this show and other future shows are my teachers as well as my students. And I thank you very much. I'm going to turn you back over to Mr. Todd. Thank you so much.
Stay on with us, Kit. I want to also let you know, Kit, that our other co-host, Kurt McKenzie, is on live with us tonight. Kurt, you want to say hello?
Kurt, good evening.
Good evening, Kurt. Glad you could make it with us, especially on short notice. And, Kurt, I've got a lot of questions for you. I'm kind of curious as to how you got hooked up with this conference and how'd you find out about it and what your expectations are for this conference.
Well, I've been, familiar with Richard McNeil, I guess, for a couple, 3 years. He came to California, and I've seen him present a number of times and formed a communication with him. And then I had the event up in Siskiyou County up at Wairika, where we had a panel of eight sheriffs in Northern California and Oregon that came and stood tall for the Constitution. So I'm aware of the event. I'm aware of what they're doing. I think it's going to be particularly applicable to the rural America, where I think it's going to have more traction, and I think it's a great program.
I'm going to have to be careful because I've got a Kurt and a Kit here, and I threw that question out at Kit, but I'm glad you answered it, Kurt, because that's good. Kit, would you respond to the same question, please?
Yes, that if we can wake the people up in any capacity to this constitutional provision, it's pretty exciting because this could be the second shot heard around the world. This could be just like 1775 when the Bad Gum Redcoats came to the colonists and said, "We're taking your powder and your ball from your armory." And the Patriots said, "The hell you are." And they stood on that bridge at Lexington Concourse and they killed the hell out of them. That was called the shot heard around the world. With this sheriff's power, if we can wake the people up, just 5% of them, and the sheriffs will do what they're supposed to, this will be the second shot heard around the world, and we don't need to get into powder and ball and shooting and that sort of thing, because if the sheriff with his posse, and in my county, the sheriff's name is Danny Glick, he's one hell of a good constitutional sheriff, if he called in a posse, he'd have 5,000 volunteers. And if we're going to throw the IRS out of our county or arrest all the agents or keep the feds from coming in here to cause another Waco or Ruby Ridge, the sheriff can stop them. And all he's got to do is call for the posse. And as you know, the veterans, the NRA guys, the RAF veterans, Vietnam veterans, the bikers, the hunters, they'll be there. And we will have our liberty back. So that's my response. This is the greatest cause I've seen in America for freedom in 67 years. That's all.
Well, Kit, this is Dr. Kate. I've lived and worked in Wyoming for a long time, and I thank you so much for joining our show this evening. It is terrific that you're here. And I just had a question for you on the basic level of education of people in Wyoming to not only the sheriff's role, but the constitutional attacks that are happening right now. And through the Endangered Species Act, basically through the elimination of states' rights. And the first part of that question is really about the general people around with an idea of, do you need any help in terms of doing some education? And the second phase of that question is, how's the governor working with regard to state sovereignty?
The governor's a beautiful guy. His name is Matthew Mead. His wife looks like my wife's twin sister, but that's neither here nor there. He's a former U.S. prosecutor. Oh, that's what we need for a governor. He's a current lawyer, and he is enforcing the establishment nonsense. He's a beautiful guy, a real nice guy. He has some very good financial views and conservative views, but he's still a federal puppet, and he is not honoring his oath of office, and it would be really hard to arrest that man when everybody likes him. But same thing with a con man, you know. Everybody likes him, and when he finally falls down, he's got to go. The people in Wyoming, as far as knowledgeable about what's going on, they're pretty well waked up about states' rights. Like, you know, why do we have to suffer these federal mandates? They're restless. The troops are restless. They're very angry, but they don't know what they're angry about, and they don't have a remedy. And we don't have time to talk tonight, but this sheriff's business is one remedy. And there's another remedy that I could speak to you as a lawyer. I'm a paralegal, but I'm not going to do that tonight. And the people have to have a remedy. But the folks in Wyoming are a little more well-tuned than certainly California or many other states. But having said that, we could say the folks in Texas and Vermont and New Hampshire and Arizona, among others, Alaska, are pretty angry at the feds also. But none of these folks have a remedy. They don't understand the law. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand what the remedy is. We don't have time to talk about that tonight. But this governor's got to go. If I was sheriff in my county, which is where the capital is in Cheyenne, it's called Laramie County, I would call every sheriff in the town, in the state, 23 sheriffs. We'd have a nice luncheon with Governor Mead, inform him if he makes one more violation of his oath of office or submits another bill of attainder into the legislature, he's under arrest for felonies called perjury. But the people can't relate to that yet because they don't understand the law. So the ideal thing is not only to get the sheriffs in the county where the locals have power and they can get that man elected, and they should not be afraid to run for sheriff themselves, but if the sheriffs can get a hold of the county, then the sheriffs can educate the population to get a hold of the governorship. And when the governorship gets a hold, gets in the game, like the sheriffs are, we're not going to have to secede from the union. The governor can enforce the feds to secede from our states. So I hope I answered your question.
Well, you sure did, and okay. I remember I was leaving Wyoming, and Matt Mead was running. I thought, oh, boy, that's all we need is you know, the U.S. Attorney General becoming or the U.S. Attorney for Wyoming becoming the governor. A little more nailing down on the educational piece. Terry, as you know, Terry Dodd is widely educated in the Constitution and the oath of office of constitutional officers. And myself, I have a blog and have been writing about this for a long time. And I know Terry has also worked very extensively with grand juries and has a lot of information on that. Is there a role for people like Terry and myself and yourself to do some education of county commissioners, or where should we start focusing and how to assist you up there in Wyoming?
That's a hard question to answer because it opened up Pandora's box. But people like yourself, like me, any agitated patriot that's a productive person and wants to try and be effective, here's the bottom line. It's really difficult. Not only educate your friends, you've got to run for office. And that's what I'm considering finally after 60 years in this business. I've got to run for office and see if I can get elected. Where? In the legislature. Any legislature in America with a lightning rod person like yourself or Mr. Dodd or Red Beckman or whoever, if they can assemble a little bit of money in their county and get elected to the state legislature, that is really a powerful position because that is where the bills of impeachment can come from any state. And you get a couple of angry legislators that get elected in there in Wyoming or Texas or any darn place, two legislators can file a bill of impeachment against the governor. They can impeach the governor. Of course, that's politically incorrect, but that's legally the best remedy. And run for office in the legislature or the Senate or the sheriff. That's what the Patriots really have to do, and quit marching around with signs in the air and poking holes in the air and going to rallies and maybe donating a few bucks. Those angry people, myself, have got to get into the legislature or the sheriff's office.
Well, we've got a lot of background noise right here, but Kit, we have a little more time here. Actually, you know, we've probably got about 15 more minutes of time to visit with you, and I just want to let you know that we're very solutions-oriented here, and you were a little concerned about taking enough time to talk about your solution. One of the things that we've been promoting via Revolution Radio is the fact that people have the right to judge the law, and there's a lot of folks out there who don't recognize their potential power as a juror, especially as a grand juror, and how they can nullify bad law by voting against, convicting someone or indicting someone if they know that the law is bad. And you mentioned the IRS, but we also promote sound money. We promote the revitalization of a well-regulated state militia. And I'm very curious to hear what your solution ideas are, but I'd also like to know if the well-regulated state militia in Wyoming, has it been organized? Is there a real coalition there? What is the situation in Wyoming with that?
It's dormant, it's silent, there's no organization, there's no even a formal entity with one or two members. It's never in the news. It doesn't exist for all intents and purposes. And, of course, that is very, very important in any state. But I'm a gun owner and a hunter a long time. I had a lot of hunting ranch, et cetera. I sold that a couple years ago. So I'm a pro-gun nut. But that is not the solution because I'm not even going to get into it. A well-regulated state militia is very necessary, but it doesn't exist in Wyoming because nobody's had enough money to start advertising it and get it created. However, here's a solution before I forget it. the grand jury, as you mentioned, that is a very serious solution and remedy. And in Wyoming, here's what happened. The state government, here we go to the legislature again, just washed away all the grand juries. They just took them away from us. So the current law in Wyoming, and this is similar in many states, says as follows. Excuse me, I got to back up a minute. There ain't no grand juries in Wyoming. What? Why isn't there? Well, I investigated it. Oh, excuse me, there's a statewide grand jury, and that is convened by a lovely judge. So the people in the south part of the state, or the north part of the state, don't really have any access to a statewide grand jury. The remedy, the solution is for the citizens to get mad as hell and create county grand juries. And when the county grand juries are convened in your own county, in my county, where everybody knows everybody, is wherever you live, folks, you're in your county, you know a lot of people there, but you don't know the folks in the northern part of the county. When the grand jury is convened, that is the county grand juries. That is a serious, shall we say, political bomb against the establishment. We don't need no militia. We don't need no revolution. We just need the grand juries to indict the local mayor, the local cop that's out of control, writing all kinds of traffic tickets, to indict the legislators that are passing their bills of attainder. That little grand jury in the county, accompanied with a good sheriff, will absolutely take control without any violence. So that's one of the solutions I would propose.
Well, I'd still like to hear what your idea is for the solution. You said you didn't want to get into it because you thought we're short on time. We've got about 11 more minutes if you want to give us a little bit of concept of what you're thinking on that is.
Well, the first thing the people in each state need to realize is they're not United States legally. They're sovereign state citizens. They're called American nationals. This is legal standing. But if they want to volunteer like an immigrant and say, give me a shield, I want to be a U.S. citizen then they are subject to all the mandates and corruption coming out of Washington, D.C. But if they would buy a copy of their state constitution for their state, whether it's Wisconsin or Oklahoma or wherever, and read that thing and mark it all up, you'll discover some amazing silver bullets in there. But if it's not taught in the schools and nobody reads their state constitutions, they don't have any remedies, but there, many of them, the remedies are right in that constitution. And, for example, in Wyoming, the Crumbull legislators passed a law about 50 years ago about grand juries. Here's what it says. A governor may request a grand jury from a superior court judge. What? Otherwise, there isn't. We haven't had a grand jury in Wyoming in almost 30 years. Now, the statewide are convened occasionally, but the state constitution has so many powerful words in there, and in our state, the constitution is from 1889. But some states have revised their constitutions one or two times, so I recommend to the citizens, in whatever state you're in, be sure and get the original constitution, because that's still the law of your state. And this United States thing is a long, long subject. You've got to wrap your mind around it. The legal name of the federal government is United States of America. The is not part of the title. And I've had many legal battles with the feds, and that's their name. It's not the name of our country. The name of our country, if you insist on saying the United States, is with a small U and a small S. The name of our country is America. And the name of the federal government is United States of America, and their restriction is Washington, D.C., in the territories such as Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, Marianas Islands, etc. That's the United States, and they don't have any jurisdiction inside of a state, a sovereign state, except the post office. That's all.
Well, Kit, what I'm hearing you say really comes back to the 10th Amendment situation. You're saying that the state is sovereign. Of course, it gets its sovereignty from its people. And I'm kind of curious if you have any ideas about how a state should go about in this day and time with the overreaching federal government that we have, how especially a state that is sparsely populated, it's difficult for a rural development situation like that to really stand up and have a coalition of people where they're communicating well and put pressure on the politicians to really stand up for state sovereignty. And I'm kind of curious how you think you're going to accomplish that in a state like Wyoming.
That's a very good question, and it gets to the heart of the matter. The 10th Amendment is, of course, states' rights, and it basically says to the feds, you can't come in here, that's all. However, the governor has to enforce that. But going sideways a little bit, that law, for folks that you can hear on the radio, that 10th Amendment, which is states' rights, look up an old law. The very first law passed by the federal Congress in 1787 is called the Northwest Ordinance of 1787. And what that law does, when you read it, you've got to read it two or three times. It'll take you about 10 minutes each time. It's shocking. What that law did was support the 10th Amendment. And I think it was done during Thomas Jefferson's time. But anyway, what that law says is any territory, like Mississippi, Ohio, whatever, that was coming into the Union, when they had enough population and whatnot, the Congress, federal Congress would vote on it. If the Congress says yes, you can come in and be a state, sovereign state in our Union, the law was like a divorce. It conveyed 100% of the political, financial, and police powers and military powers of the federal government that they had over the territory before its admission. Just like the Indian reservations, they got complete control. When the territory said, great, we become a state, now we're going to have a governor, they divorced themselves from the federal government. There's no more control. And read that law. It was never taught to you in school. It's really cool. But in answer to Mr. Dodd's question, the only solution besides a violent revolution in each state is to organize the sheriffs and get them to honor their oaths of office, because the governor probably won't. But if you can get a sheriff that was successful in popular with honoring his oath of office, he could become governor. And if that begins to happen, that is the only solution I can think of besides a military one. So that's all I got on that subject tonight, I think.
What's the presence of the National Guard in Wyoming?
The National Guard in Wyoming is pervasive. It's overpowering. There's a huge, huge base in the capital city of Cheyenne. There's even a bigger base up in Poondockville, Wyoming, called not Torrington, but I forget the name of it. Huge, huge military base. We have two or three bombers flying all over the city every single day from the National Guard. And folks, the National Guard, and I didn't learn this until a couple years ago, so I was never in the military. I thought it was the state army. No, the National Guard is the U.S. Army in every single state. And they just sit there like a great big giant ticking time bomb. They should not be inside any state. It's an illegal occupation. And when the financial hell comes to breakfast, those boys are going to be employed by the dictates of the president, and they're going to terrorize the population in every single state, and we'll have martial law. They need to be gone from here, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, this may be a little off topic from the sheriff's conference, but I noticed this morning that over Las Vegas, the skies were checkerboarded with chemtrails. Are you seeing a lot of that up in Wyoming?
No, it's very unusual up in Wyoming, but I have seen it, and I know people have done extensive research on that, and those chemtrails are very bad for us. I don't know much about them, but I know they're surely not a good thing, but we hardly ever see them in Wyoming.
Well, that's interesting. I think it's probably because of the lack of population centers, and there's
precisely.
What about agriculture, though? They try to do the chemtrails over an agricultural area, and I notice when I'm traveling through Wyoming, I don't see a lot of crops and things like that up there, so it's not like Kansas and Nebraska where they got a lot of wheat fields. Is there a significant agricultural other than cattle? Is there a farming presence in Wyoming?
I'm not sure I'm going to give you an accurate answer, but the answer basically is no. Cattle and sheep and cotton and we do have a very big, significant presence of wheat. There's no corn grown in Wyoming. I hardly see any agriculture, farming activities except ranching, livestock. And I said we have a town north of Cheyenne called Wheatland, massive wheat fields. But I've never seen any potatoes or corn or anything grown in Wyoming. Maybe it's down in a small capacity, but there doesn't seem to be much presence there. But you go down to Colorado, just the next state below, and there's tremendous agricultural crops.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why they spray certain chemtrail areas and other places that they don't. And I think that the chemtrail situation is something that sheriffs need to be involved in too, because the EPA tries to claim that the Army controls the skies, that they don't have any responsibility on that. But I'm thinking that this does apply to sheriffs, because the sheriffs should be able to complain if somebody's spraying over their county. Kate, would you like to inject here a little bit? Because you obviously, being a hydrogeologist and working in Wyoming, you got some knowledge of this topic, and we got a few more minutes here before our next guest comes on, and I'd kind of like to hear what you have to say or questions you have for Kit.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Got so many questions, and you're right, Kit. Pandora's box could be opened at any minute. but I did want to say that some of the wildlife deaths and also the big agricultural production in central Wyoming and all along the Bighorn, the sugar beets, so forth and so on, I have a gut feeling that if there's going to be spraying, it's going to be over those areas. Because the big companies like Monsanto have come up with aluminum-resistant seeds and so forth, and this is what's being sprayed in the sky. So I would imagine that would be significant. I don't know where the environmental community is in terms of wanting to control those things, but it's pretty bad. I wanted to ask you as well, you talked a little bit about the militia. I believe there is still a provision in the Wyoming Constitution that authorizes and allows the militia. And I remember you got concealed carry, no concealed carry laws. There are no laws there that prevent you from carrying weapons. And I remember a lot of people yelling about the militias and that that's going to make everything become back the quote-unquote Wild West. But am I right? Is there still a provision in the Wyoming Constitution that does allow for militias, Second Amendment, and so forth?
Absolutely. There's a provision in the Wyoming Constitution about the militias, just a couple sentences. I don't have it in front of me here. And the governor is the commander-in-chief of the militia, and he can be called in, and every man in the state of Wyoming from the age of 17 to 70 is automatically in the militia and can be drafted, so to say, at any time for an emergency, especially if the state's being invaded. Yes, it is in the state constitution.
So it sounds like there is an educational need in each one of those counties, not only about the Wyoming Constitution and the U.S. Constitution, but about, dissolve the fear about militias, but about militias as well, grand juries, and frankly, state nullification of federal laws. Would that be a fair assessment, that you would think there would be some education needed there?
Oh, absolutely. The pervasive ignorance, not only of Wyoming, but every state I've either visited or lived in, I've lived in five different states, is shocking. And the nullification you brought up is a remedy I didn't think I had time to talk about, but it is a perfect solution. It's been exercised in many states. Basically, folks, nullification is the state legislature or the governor of any state, Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, Texas, and they say, we're not going to call it this unconstitutional law, and they simply pass a vote statement. This law is nullified. It has no value in the state. It's completely ab initio illegal. I mean, it's illegal from the time they printed it until now. And the nullification process, again, goes back to the governor, which is ignorant of this, typically, and certainly the sheriffs. And so the population, the schools, the school teachers don't know anything about what we're talking about. And the sheriffs can get educated, and the students can get educated at the high school level about nullification and the power of the sheriff, the power of the governor. We can clean this mess up within 2 years. Nullification is a fabulous tool. Fabulous.
Well, Kit, I want to thank you for spending a good half hour here with us and giving us your perspective of things here at the Sheriff's Conference as well as in the state of Wyoming. Our next guest is on with us. Now, you can stay on with us, Kit. What I would ask is so that you cut down the background noise, if you'd hit the mute button on that phone unless you want to speak. But I'm going to get our next guest going, if that's okay. Michael Badnarik, who is an acquaintance of mine, friend of mine since back at the time we met at the Continental Congress in 2009, who was a presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party a few years ago, and has been doing a lot of constitutional education, has been given the title of Sheriff's Liaison here at the Sheriff's Conference. Michael, say hello.
Hi, Terry. Good to be on with you this evening.
Good to be on with you. In our chat room, Michael, is Gene Brokaw, one of the delegates from Alaska, who is listening. And, of course, we've got Dr. Kate on with us, who I know wants to say hello as well. Dr. Kate?
Good evening, my fearless leader.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing, my dear?
Very well, very well. Glad to hear of you and glad that you're joining our show, and I'm so very glad that you're at the conference.
Well, I'm very glad that the conference is happening. This is basically lighting the fuse for the second American Revolution. After tomorrow's conference, we're going to be starting that swing back in the direction of liberty.
You're the right person to be there. Thank you so much. Terry, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Kate. Michael, I'm just wanting you to give the folks a little feel for what this conference is about. What you're hoping to accomplish here, and there's just a lot of excitement. And I know that Sheriff Richard Mack is pumped. He's almost in denial that this thing is actually happening and that it's finally coming about. I'd just like for you to give us some perspective of that.
Well, I'm almost in a little bit of denial myself. This is so significant. This is going to be a historical event. Basically, what is happening is we have about 125 sheriffs from around the country all convening here in Las Vegas. And we're going to be presenting them with information tomorrow, which basically gives them the idea or lets them know that the sheriff is the highest constitutional authority in the county. And that authority is so high that the sheriff has the legal authority to throw the federal government out of the county should that become necessary. Most of us are fully aware that the federal government is out of control. The economy is in shambles, and the federal government continues to grow bigger and take more and more authority. And you don't have to be a Supreme Court justice to know that the federal government is out of control. The question really becomes, when do we stop it, and how do we go about stopping it? And the time is now. And the way that we go about it is with the constitutional sheriffs. The sheriff's job description is to protect the life, liberty, and private property of all the people within the county. And he is the highest elected authority under the Constitution. So all of the sheriffs that I've spoken to in preparation for this conference have made note of the fact that they have to be really careful, because if they do something that the people don't like, they can be voted out at the next election, which is precisely the control that the people need to have over law enforcement. So the sheriffs are really on our side. They just need to know the legal basis for their authority. They need to know that they are not the only ones doing it. Seven or eight of the speakers that we have here tomorrow are sheriffs who have already stood up to the federal government successfully. And we want the sheriffs all to know that the people are behind them. As long as they are following the Constitution, as long as they are, it's not difficult to know the difference between right and wrong. And as long as the sheriff is out there protecting the private property of the people, then the people will be supportive of the sheriff. And this is the legal, logical, nonviolent method for taking back the constitutional republic that so many of us love and cherish.
Well, Michael, sorry, I've been muting to cut down the background noise. Michael, we also have on with us Kurt McKenzie. Kurt, you might want to say hello to Michael as well.
Hi, Michael. Glad that you're down there and in the midst of it. Couldn't be a better guy to be involved.
It is so exciting to be here. You can feel the energy. And we haven't even started yet. We have a social gathering tonight in about an hour and a half. But the staff is here. We've been going over the registration process, passing out the name badge. There is such a positive, enthusiastic energy here, and we haven't even gotten started yet. I imagine that the energy tomorrow at the banquet dinner is going to be palpable. You're going to be able to feel liberty and all of the enthusiasm for it tomorrow night. And I'm very lucky to be a part of this. I am the first speaker on the agenda. I speak from 9 until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And all I have to cover is the difference between rights and privileges, the proper role of government, and the 10 Bill of Rights. And I've got 60 minutes to cover that information. So I've been practicing with my PowerPoint presentation. I'm fairly sure that I can cover all the data.
Well, I can see this conference, growing at the next conference. I can see that, this is just really the first stone in the quiet water that's going to create a huge amount of wakes and ripples. And I'm excited to see what happens tomorrow. But I'll tell you, one of the things that's really impressing me is this is a signal to me. The fact that so many sheriffs are starting to really take hold and come forward to really represent people, to represent their oath of office, to represent to protect the Constitution, but also the unalienable rights. And I haven't seen this very much in the past, Michael. So to me, this is the beginning of a movement. It's something that's going to be extremely powerful. And I don't believe that we can really accomplish, defending the Constitution, getting states to stand up for their sovereignty, unless it begins at the county level. And these sheriffs, I think, are more important than even we yet understand. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's where part of this enthusiasm comes from. Because for years we have watched the federal government grow in size, the economy getting worse, and every time we think that it can't get worse, the government, the Congress comes up with another law, the most recent being the National Defense Authorization Act, and people are wondering how far it's going to go, how bad can it really get? And I think that this is the beginning of the end of that tyranny. I really do. I am so excited. We've got 125 sheriffs here. I agree with you that the next event, and we haven't planned it, it's going to be either sometime this summer or this fall. I agree that we will probably have somewhere between 500 and 1,000 sheriffs at that event. And at that point in time, we will become unstoppable. That it's just going to be a matter of time. People are gathering more and more information about the Constitution. We had the Continental Congress 2 years ago, and we created a document there called the Articles of Freedom. I think that all of this energy is suddenly going to become front page news. People are going to be, talking about rights and privileges. They're going to be talking about the Constitution. And I think that the return to liberty is going to be much faster and much more complete than anybody really gives it credit for right now.
Well, you mentioned the Continental Congress. Do you see anything coming in the future again like that?
I do. Again, this is a huge movement, and I can't predict exactly what will happen or who will be doing it, but there is a growing understanding of individual rights, of personal responsibility, the idea that we are personally responsible for liberty. We can't just wait for someone else to do it. If that happens, it's not going to get done. And over the last 2 or 3 years, you've seen so many groups form. The Tea Party group formed. You've got Oath Keepers. You can't throw a stick without a protest rally, without hitting a protest rally. And the people are anxious. They want answers, and they are starting to discover the truth. And as this truth continues to spread, it's just going to be a shockwave across the country. And so while you and I have been a little disappointed with what we consider the lack of, friendly reception to the Articles of Freedom, I think that in another year people are going to discover the Articles of Freedom and they're going to be saying, hey, look what we found. So I think that the Continental Congress was an incredible experience, and the result of our work was the Articles of Freedom, and I think those are going to be taken to heart. And I don't think that people are going to be elected to office in the future unless they have read the Articles of Freedom and completely support them.
Well, I have a copy of it right next to me at my seat right here at the hotel, by the way. So if you need a copy of it, I've got one. Michael, I'm wondering some of the things that you're wanting to accomplish here at this conference. What are some of the messages you want to really get sunk into the heads of some of these constitutional peace officers?
One, that there is a legitimate and undeniable authority for their position. If we tell the sheriff that they can throw the federal government out, that sounds completely contrary to what most of them have been told. And so we need to demonstrate that there is absolute logic to all of this and documentation for it. We also want them to know that this is not the first time that it's been tried, that we have other sheriffs across the country who have been doing this already, and that they have been successful in those efforts, so that not only is it logically true, you know, there have already been people who have proved it, and that there is very strong support from, you know, within the county itself for the sheriff to be able to do that. The sheriff is not going to be like Gary Cooper in High Noon, standing out there in the middle of the street all by himself. The sheriff is going to be there as the symbol of authority, but he will have the full force of the community behind him.
Well, how well do you believe that message is going to be received? It's an honest question.
It is an honest question. I'll be very, very honest with you. When I first heard that the plans to gather 200 sheriffs in Las Vegas, I was skeptical. Given all of the bad things that have happened and how hard I have personally worked over the last 30 years, I thought that the convention itself was a little bit pie in the sky, that maybe we would gather, you know, 20 to 40 sheriffs and have, you know, a nice little luncheon together. But I have to eat my words. This has come together much larger than I thought it would, is already more successful than I imagined it could be. And I have to give credit to Sheriff Mack for coming up with the idea and for the volunteers. We have been working on this project for a little over 3 months now, and we have had conference calls every Wednesday night, and we have been working diligently to put this all together. And frankly, it's a little bit of a surprise to me that everything has come together quite so well. We're very, very lucky. But now that we are here, I am completely enthused. You know, with 125 sheriffs here, this lighting the fires of liberty is going to continue. And the flames are going to get much, much hotter.
Well, I have no doubt that that's the truth. I've been very, very impressed with some of these sheriffs that we've been interviewing over the past 2 or 3 months, thanks to especially to Kurt McKenzie. Kurt, did you have any specific questions for Michael?
No, actually, I'm enjoying just getting a firsthand perspective of what's going on there, Michael. I'm so glad to hear it's going so well.
It is, and one of the things that I am thrilled about is the fact that my mother understands the significance of this event. You know, I've been telling her what we were planning. Every time I get off a conference call, I let her know what problems we faced and what we've solved. And my mother was extremely excited that I was coming to Las Vegas because, you know, she understands that this is significant, that this is This is the what we're going to be doing to begin saving our Constitution and restoring peace around the world. Right now, tomorrow's event is focused on the county. But as liberty spreads from county to county, it will eventually be nationwide. And once the United States and the federal government start to respect the lives and private property of people in other countries, then we're not going to have all of these wars around the world. And I don't know how many years it's going to take, but I sincerely believe that this is the beginning of world peace.
Michael, as I was saying to Sheriff Glenn Palmer a week or so ago, I think the real basis of this is it needs to be a constitutional county. And one thing I would love to see be come out of this presentation to the sheriffs is a full understanding of the original and constitutional definition of a grand jury.
Well, we've got a limited amount of time. Everybody had great ideas for subject items that we could or should talk to the sheriffs. But at some point, it just becomes, you know, my cup runneth over. There is only so much information that a human can assimilate in an eight-hour period. And so we had to be very careful. I mean, there are certainly topics that would be nice and would be appropriate, but what we want to do right now is to make sure that we don't overwhelm them too much. And, you know, just give them the basic fundamentals. It always takes people a little bit of time to absorb the information and make it their own. So the fact that the sheriffs are here is incredible. We have a lineup of speakers tomorrow that is absolutely top-notch. And then there is a group photo with all of the sheriffs in their uniforms showing solidarity. And then we have a banquet where these sheriffs can compare notes with each other and form a support group. And again, they need to know, and I'm sure that they will understand by the end of tomorrow evening, that it is the people of the county who elect them, the people of the county who are going to be supporting them, and that, you know, doing the right thing may be a little bit scary sometimes, but it is still the right thing.
Well, this might be a better question to ask tomorrow night, Michael, but I'm kind of curious as to what you think will happen after this conference.
Well, one of the goals of the conference, we have drafted a potential resolution, and we are hoping that at the end of the evening tomorrow that the sheriffs will read this petition and individually sign it. Basically making a statement. If you're familiar with the Oath Keepers basically say that they are not going to follow any unconstitutional orders from their superiors. This document that the sheriffs, we are hoping the sheriffs will sign, is basically going to be a warning to the federal government that these sheriffs are not going to tolerate any unconstitutional activity within their county, and that if the federal government comes to their county to try to confiscate weapons or seize property illegally, that the sheriff and the people backing them up are going to be there to stop them.
Well, can you give us just a little bit of detail about what's happening at the conference tomorrow, what you know to be the agenda, the basic kind of I hate to take you back to a fundamental kind of question, but I think it's important for people to kind of have some idea of how this conference is going to be accomplished and what the sheriffs are going to be actually doing during the day.
Well, the sheriffs are going to be presented with lots of information. I am the very first speaker, and my job is to establish the philosophy. Why do we have any government at all, And if we have to have government, why not socialism or communism? Why did the founding fathers choose a constitutional republic? And I have to establish the validity. What is the validity of any particular government? What is the difference between rights and privileges? And what do the Bill of Rights actually mean in that context? The Bill of Rights naturally ends with the 10th Amendment, which I will touch on briefly. And then as soon as I'm finished, Sheriff Richard Mack will get up, and he will give a one-hour presentation on his Supreme Court victory over the Brady Bill. And this Supreme Court decision relies very heavily on the 10th Amendment, and specifically the aspect that the federal government has no authority to tell a state government what to do. The state government will trump the federal government every single time. So at some point, we will have a break. We have, I believe, 7 or 8 sheriffs from around the country who have defended private property or confronted the federal government. I'm living in Indiana at the moment with my parents. There is a sheriff from northern Indiana who was defending an Amish farmer. The Amish farmer is selling raw milk, and the federal the Food and Drug Administration was trying to intimidate and somewhat terrorize this Amish farmer, hopefully to force him or coerce him into no longer selling raw milk. Well, the sheriff stood up and wrote the federal government a letter telling them that if they came to harass the Amish farmer, that the sheriff would arrest those federal agents. The federal agents wrote a letter insisting that he would be interfering with a federal investigation and that the federal government would arrest him instead. Well, the subsequent response was for the local sheriff and Sheriff Mack to write a joint letter, and that joint letter put the federal government on hold. So we are, you know, that's the kind of information we're going to be telling the sheriffs what is true. We're going to be giving them examples of what is true and asking them to pick up the torch of liberty and to sign a document pledging to protect the life, liberty, and private property of the people in their county.
Well, Michael, you've got about 3 minutes here before we bring on Tanya Benson, who works closely with Sheriff Mack. She's actually got a live mic, but I want to give you about 3 minutes to kind of wrap up. Maybe you want to give some information about how people can get a hold of you, your website. You know, what are you doing as far as these constitutional seminars and that sort of thing?
If they want to come in here, we have an event on Tuesday night, which is open to the public. It'll be from 6 to 10 p.m., and it'll be kind of a miniature version if anybody is interested. We're at the Tuscany Hotel and Conference Center in Las Vegas. You can go to countysheriffproject.org. That's countysheriffproject.org to find out all the information about this event. You'll be able to go there after the fact and possibly purchase videos of all the speakers. If you want to visit my website is constitutionpreservation.org.
Michael, we've got somebody with their hand up. I don't know if they have a question for you. Are you able to take a question?
I certainly can.
Area code 484. You have a live mic.
Yes. This is William Taylor Ryle. Michael, it's good to hear you again, calling from Pennsylvania.
Hi, William. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I just want to let you know that we started sheriff brigades here in Pennsylvania. There are now 21 active counties with brigades, and we have a county sheriff brigades of Pennsylvania as an over administrative organization, and we've been very active in trying to educate the legislators since January with a letter every or a document every 2 weeks. So it's happening, and of course we're working closely with Sheriff Mack on this effort as well. And as far as I know, I think we have 5 sheriffs from Pennsylvania attending the conference.
Well, congratulations on your project there. I'm thrilled to hear that it's happening. I am not surprised in the least that you are in the thick of it. The audience probably should know that you were with us in St. Charles, Illinois at the Continental Congress, and I appreciate your efforts there. And I will keep my eyes open. If I see any of your sheriffs from Pennsylvania, I will stop and say hello.
Sheriff,
where is Brad Rogers from?
Sheriff,
I'm sorry?
Carolyn Bunny Welch is on the board, actually. So you may already know her.
I don't,
Tanya,
but I will keep my eyes open to say hello to all of them. I am the sheriff liaison, so if they have any questions, I'm the guy they're supposed to come to.
Great. Well, keep up the good work, Michael. I'm glad to see that you're involved.
Thank you, William.
Will, thanks for calling in. I'm just wondering where Sheriff Brad Rogers is from. Isn't he up in that territory, Tanya?
Brad Rogers is from Indiana. He's the sheriff protecting the Amish farmer.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, thank you very much, Michael, for joining us. You're welcome to stay on with us. I want to introduce Tanya Benson and get her to give us her perspective of this conference. But, Michael, I'm just really grateful for being able to see you again and be able to spend a little time with you, and really appreciate everything that you have contributed to our show tonight.
Well, thank you, and we'll probably have some time later this evening to sit around over a beer.
I bet. Well, let's get Tanya Benson in here. Tanya, you work closely with Sheriff Mack, and you've been working on this conference, as Michael says, for at least 3 months, probably longer. I'm really wanting to let the folks know who you are, give them a little background about yourself, and give us some perspective of what's been going on approaching the time of this conference.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. I can say that this has been a real exciting journey up to this point, and I think of it kind of like a dream in a way that we are about to begin to fulfill. I know Sheriff Mack has just put his heart and soul into this. We've all put blood, sweat, and tears into it to make it happen, and I guess we kind of feel like, or at least I feel like, this is kind of like a tipping point for us in this battle that we are in against the federal government, and to restore the republic and get our Constitution back, and hopefully continue to raise awareness that we all need to be vigilant and take care of what we were given by our founding fathers. I think this is going to be so historical, and when we look back on it, and equivalent to maybe like the Continental Congress. Let's see. We've been working. Yes.
Let's back up for just a minute, because we'll get into some more of this stuff here shortly. We've got plenty of time, and there's no rush. So I'm kind of curious. It's not just been a smooth ride over the last few months. Bringing about a conference like this has taken some blood, sweat, and tears, and I'm confident of that. And I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about that with us.
Well, when Sheriff Mack decided to set the date for us to do this, we, there's a committee, I guess you could call us a committee. We're kind of spread out a little bit, some in Texas, some in Florida, some in Oregon. We just got on board and dedicated and committed to making this happen. Everyone sort of came into it with some talents and skills, and everyone was willing to work together to see what we how we could make this happen. And everyone took on a part of it, started putting up the website, designing the website. Sheriff Mack has a sheriff survey that was posted up on the website, still there, the countysheriffproject.org. Then we just began to plan every detail of how to make this happen, location, booking the hotel, setting up the conference and the convention facilities, deciding how we would get the sheriffs there. We wanted to provide them an easy way to come, so we wanted to pay their way. We began taking donations from all over the country so that people were had the option of sending their sheriff to the convention. We put the word out through all kinds of media, I guess Patriot Media, email lists, and so forth, and began to get response from it. In fact, we did get a lot of interest in it from the public, which is why we added that Tuesday night event where Sheriff Arpaio will be the keynote speaker. Anyone can come to that, by the way. You can go online to countysheriffproject.org and purchase your ticket online for only $10. I would encourage you to do that just so that you can be sure and get in. And then we had regular conference calls throughout these past few months to just keep everyone on task and organized and the best we could. Well, so that kind of answered your question?
Yes, a little bit. I think you're almost sugarcoating it. I know there's been some bumps. I know that Sheriff Mack has put his neck pretty well out on the line and risked even his own personal financial self to make sure that this has come about. And I'm really appreciative of the sacrifices that everyone has made over the recent months. And I just want to commend you and Sheriff Mack's organization for what you've been through, and that you've not let anything slow you down. You've faced any struggles that have come up.
I didn't mean to make it sound like it was easy, because we have been kind of a lot. Some of us have just been working pretty much every day, sometimes till late in the night, just kind of on call, so to speak, around the clock. But I feel like we've been very upbeat and enthusiastic and positive, and we really think that this is our chance to turn things around, and this is that critically important for us to not lose track of the goal that we're setting here, to build a coalition of constitutional sheriffs and whatever we need to do to make that happen, however long we have to work.
This is the first milestone, I guess, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's going to be a long journey, don't you believe?
Oh, absolutely. This is kind of, that's why I said it's kind of the beginning of the fulfillment of this goal. And we will have a debriefing on Tuesday and decide what our next step is, when we'll do this again. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen after that, but I think we're sort of in a, I've been saying for a while, we're kind of like where we were back on April 19th, 1775, in some regards, because we kind of have to do a little bit all over again what happened before, because we weren't diligent enough. We have a couple of generations who were kind of asleep at the switch and didn't really guard against the encroachment of our freedoms and our liberties. And so in order for the next generation not have to completely be
If there's somebody out there listening that's been a little hesitant to write a check to donate to CSPOA, what would you say to them right now?
I would say this ought to be their top priority if they care about saving this country. We will continue to move in this direction. Just like you said, this is the first step, the first round. We're going to do it again, but we will definitely need everyone to take ownership of this. This isn't just a situation where you go, okay, I'm going to donate to this good cause over here. This is about every one of us getting involved here and taking ownership of getting our country back. So when you put a donation in on this, this is for you too. It's not just for someone else over here doing a good deed. If that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense to me. What do you think, or what are you hoping that will be accomplished tomorrow?
Well, I hope that the sheriffs that are coming, and I have seen quite a lot of enthusiasm. Some of them just could hardly wait to get here. This is a working conference and a supportive conference so that they can each have the opportunity to share what they are dealing with, the different things that they're having successes and struggles with. And so hopefully we will end up with the building of that coalition and building on it by them going back and spreading the word with the other sheriffs that they work with in their state or whatever sheriff's associations that they're involved with to just keep moving on to catch this momentum and keep it going forward. And that they will come away feeling supported in these challenges and struggles that they're taking on against the federal government, whether it's property rights or things like the dairy farms, whatever the challenges are that they're dealing with, and they will find that they do have backup and support to do that. And also solid ground, constitutionally speaking. They are in charge in their county.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the list of sheriffs that are going to be here in attendance. I'm wondering if you could give us a little idea of where all they're coming from.
The last time I looked at the list, let's see, I think we had about 19, 20 states where we did not have any representation coming. From the other states, we had at least one sheriff coming. The concentration seemed to be in about 5 or 6 states, Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, Utah, Texas, let's see, might have been one more, and then just a smattering from another 15 states or so. Okay, I've not got my numbers down there, so I'm not looking at how many.
That's
I
all
just
right.
said, but so the bulk of them are coming from about maybe 6 or 7 states, with another 14 states being involved, and so we're maybe about not a little over halfway.
But do you think there's about half the states that are represented?
I'm sorry, say that again.
You think there's about half of the states that are represented?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, where we have at least one sheriff from a state. Sometimes that's all we have, like one sheriff from Louisiana, one sheriff from Kansas, one sheriff from Alabama or something like that.
Well, what do you see going forward? What's the goal for this group going forward as a follow-up to this convention?
Well, we will be having a debriefing on Tuesday and assess what has happened on Monday and where we want to go from there. So I can't say for sure. I do know that our intention is to do this again if possible. If the funding keeps coming in, we will probably try to do it in the next maybe 4 months or so.
again, I don't want to speak for everyone because it's not totally my decision. I think there's also a possibility we may do regional events rather than one big event like this, for two reasons. One, so that we might be able to do it quicker. It's be a little easier to manage. And two, so that it provides a way for the sheriffs to get there a little bit easier than to travel, in some cases, all across the country. And
right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time tonight. We've got about 15 minutes remaining, and I want to give you all the time to say anything that's on your heart or any message that you'd like to put forward related to this sheriff's project.
Well, I would hope that everyone hearing this would go and tell everyone, as many people as they can, about what we're doing and how just how important it really is. It is hugely important that everyone take ownership and get involved. You know, it doesn't, if the sheriff's constitutional in your county, that's wonderful. But if the people who vote him in are not up to speed and supporting him and standing by him and, you know, knowing what their job is too, then that's part of the equation that's missing. So it does take both parts. If you have any questions, you can check with right now the countysheriffproject.org. Also, Sheriff Mac has a website, cspoa.org. You can certainly contact us. The email's on there. I believe maybe even his phone number's on there, but you can contact us through email if you have any questions. You can also purchase books for your sheriffs, and we encourage you to do that too. The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, is a very important book that he wrote that we at one time had a program to get one in the hand of every sheriff in the country. I know that was pretty successful. Some sheriffs got many copies of it. I think it's important that you contact and become familiar with and let your sheriff know who you are, that how important you think it is that he get on board with understanding his oath that he took, what that really means, and, you know, joining up with Sheriff Mack's Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is a great place to start. I think that... Well, I think I've just said it several times. We're kind of at a tipping point here of whether or not we're going to get our freedoms back or we're going to lose it to tyranny. I know Thomas Jefferson back in 1781 was talking about how people could lose their freedoms if they didn't unite and be vigilant. And it's sort of like a repeat here. They were all busy doing other things. Everyone's so busy taking care of all the things that they think that they're too busy doing to pay attention to what's going on. I think people need to understand that is somewhat by design. And we absolutely have to become aware, wake up, and take charge. We can turn things around. There's no doubt about it. We can do this. So... you just have to make a choice. Is that what we want to do or not? And I hope everyone out there will really consider what's really important and what their priorities are when it comes to just going about their daily lives and donating to this cause, talking to their sheriffs, sharing this with the people in their community, with their other organizations they belong to, at their churches, in their city councils, because we do have to rebuild from the bottom up.
Well, I would like to clarify for everybody, if you can help me do this, what we've been talking about a constitutional sheriff. What does that represent to you?
Well, if the sheriff upholds his oath to the Constitution and recognizes that he is the ultimate law enforcement power and authority in his county and within his jurisdiction, when things start to happen, with the federal government in Article 1, Section 8, their powers are outlined there. It's very clear. So anyone can go and read that and understand what the the powers are. The federal government has way overstepped their bounds and are completely out of control. So if the sheriff understands his job, if a federal agent comes into his county and has not checked in with his office first, and they're about to take some action, whether it's the EPA or the IRS or any of the other alphabet federal agencies who have policies and regulations that they start to enforce without the sheriff's backing, then the sheriff has the authority to ask them to leave his county. And the sheriff just needs to follow his oath to the Constitution. It's pretty simple, I think. If he is very unclear about that, he can check with Sheriff Nick.
Kurt, do you or Kate have a question for Tanya?
Well, I might just make a comment for the listeners, if I might. I think people should keep their eye on what we started here in Siskiyou County on October 22nd, where we had 8 sheriffs actually from Northern California and Oregon come together, and I think that this is really probably going to be the leading example across the nation, because that's actually really found a lot of traction, and I think that's why there's so many members and sheriffs that are coming from California and Oregon. We had John Lopey from Siskiyou County was the one to pull that panel of 8 sheriffs together, but we had Bruce Haney from Trinity County, we had Dave Hencratt from Tehama County, Dean Groden from Lassen County, Dean Wilson from Del Norte County, Sheriff Glenn Palmer from Grant County, Oregon, and we had, I believe, also Tom Basanko from Shasta County and Gil Gilbertson from Josephine County in Oregon. Those people have really formed a tight nucleus. It's been expanded. I know that they've expanded in talking to some of the other western states, and I think that for people looking for leadership in terms of what's going to happen here and how this is going to roll out, they can take a look at that, and they can go to the defendruralamerica.com website and look at all the issues about how we're going to fight back in particularly in rural America. I think this is where it's going to have the greatest traction.
And you can watch the video of those sheriffs on the countysheriffproject.org website. I agree with everything you said. It's a great example of sheriffs. And if you even search it on the YouTube, I think it's sheriffs standing tall for the Constitution.
Kate, do you have any questions? We've got about 7 minutes left to go here.
No questions. Just congratulations to you, Terry, and Tanya, and to all the sheriffs that are there, and to Kirk. Just so thrilling and so positive for constitutionalists everywhere to hear about our local law enforcement really beginning to work and take up the torch, because no one else is really protecting we the people. Having said that, there is a lot of education that needs to be done, in my view, to support the sheriffs, the county sheriffs, and everything about environmental regulation, for example, or other aspects of land management where we the people really do have the rights, and where the sheriffs can help we the people with overly aggressive federal resource management entities. And I look forward very much to this collaboration, and I wish you all the best of luck in this conference. And just am so appreciative of having everyone who's on this phone call and in our chat room. And so I thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've got about 6 or 7 more minutes here. Tanya, is there anything else you'd like to share with folks about especially Sheriff Mack's passion, perhaps, about this and what this has meant to him? Well,
it's definitely a passion. I believe he is pretty much living it 24/7. And is totally dedicated and committed to this. I've never seen anything like it. He is just tirelessly working for this. And I guess like when they said in the past, giving your fortunes and your lives and your honor, I think that you could say that's kind of how Sheriff Matt feels about this. I think he has been saying this for a long time now. If we could get our sheriffs to understand the oath that they took and to enforce that, we could have America back tomorrow. We don't have to wait till the next election. We can have it back now. And I totally, when I met him a few years ago and I heard him speak, I was completely convinced this was the answer, the solution. I think we're all of us on the committee, all of us that are involved in this, believe this is the answer. That's why we want so much for the rest of the people to wake up and join us in this cause and to help get their sheriffs involved, get themselves educated. I agree there's definitely a lot of education that still needs to happen. But the information, as we are educating people, is available. And like I said, you can go on and get Sheriff Mack's books. That's one way to do it. There's just a plethora of folks now beginning to be involved with websites and books. And Terry, you could tell everybody a lot about that too, huh?
Let me say this. This show, this Blog Talk Radio, Revelation Radio, Walls in Our Minds, we've been focused now for 2 years on solutions to the problems in our country, how to bring our republic back, how to defend the Constitution, how to bring power back to the hands of the people and get it a, how do we stand up for the law and not just let these men who are really self-serving themselves in Washington, D.C., steal away the unalienable rights of the people. And so many people have relied upon the next election. They placed all their hope in maybe finding a politician that will make a difference. And they time and time again find out that they just basically get more of the same, and that the tyranny and the progressivism and the collectivism just keeps growing and more enslaving the people. So we look to things like grand juries. We look to things like the people learning that they have the right to judge the law, sound money, and now the sheriffs. And these are the type of things that people do not have to wait for another election for. You said that a while ago, and I felt like it was a very important point to bring out, because we don't have to wait for another election. We can hold people accountable now. And one of the best ways to do that is by for the people to support those sheriffs who are being constitutional sheriffs. And Sheriff Mack has now stepped forward and taken a lead in raising up and really educating the sheriffs that are not familiar with what their power under the constitutions are. And I say constitutions because they get their power from the state constitutions, really. I just think this is so tremendously important, and it's so wonderful now that we've got people willing to take a lead in this. It's critical. Any comment to that?
You're absolutely, absolutely right. There is absolutely no reason to wait for an election. Sheriff Mack says it over and over again. We do not have to wait. We can get America back tomorrow. And that's why we want people to wake up and recognize how important this whole event is, why if the sheriffs will take their oath seriously and follow their oath, we don't have to wait.
Well, Tanya, thank you so much for taking your time tonight. I know that you've been busy. I know that the reception's about to begin here in just a little bit. And watching the sheriffs walk in, come down, looking for where the conference is going to be, and a lot of excitement that's going on here. And I just really thank you for being gracious enough to take your time and visit with us tonight. And If Michael's still on, I want to thank him again. Kate, thank you very much for taking a Sunday night and producing this show. And Kurt, thanks for joining us. Tanya, any last comment?
Well, I just want to thank you, Terry, for putting all of this information out there, because it is very important that we spread the word as far and wide as we can. Personally, I am so excited and thrilled about this. For me, this is just about the most exciting thing in my entire life. I know this is history in the making. I know we are at a tipping point. We can turn this around. And I just want everyone to come and join us and get on board. And thank you all for listening.
We'll be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock Pacific time for another hour and a half special production of Walls in Our Minds at Revolution Radio. Thanks, Kurt. Thanks, Kate. Have a good night.
Good night.